Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at solar now here in the state. Last year, Wisconsin utilities installed more solar power in the state than in any other year prior. And solar installers is one of the fastest growing professions in the U.S. We're going to talk about the future of solar power in Wisconsin with the leader of the Midwest nonprofit based out of Custer. Nick Hyla is the executive director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, MREA, as we often call it. He's been there for the past, in that position for the past 10 years. And wondering about you and questions about solar. Do you have solar panels on your home? Are you happy with them? What can be done to increase access to solar energy? Does your community have a group solar energy project? Hope you'll join in the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Nick Hyla, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've talked with anybody from the MREA, for that matter, and so it's good to have you with us and good to have the association back. Can you tell us about the trajectory of solar in Wisconsin? How the industry's grown a lot in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, so we're a bit of a laggard if you look at the United States as a whole. You know, we're the way that energy policy works is we're a 50-state experiment, and we've been a little bit slow to kind of jump on the bandwagon. But you know, there are benefits to being a laggard, and and we are the future's bright, so to speak, for solar in Wisconsin. I mean, you've kind of already mentioned a bit that last year we installed more solar in the state than any previous year, and we're at about 130 megawatts, which, you know, isn't, when you think about Wisconsin's electricity usage, that's not a lot. We're still in that kind of like 1% range, and Wisconsin as a state still has a low amount of renewables in our, what they call our energy portfolio, our full portfolio of what brings electricity to our houses. But the growth trajectory is faster than many expected, and solar, many of your listeners may not realize, has been and continues to be for the past 5 years the leading source of new electricity generation in the United States, which means that we build more solar capacity in the U.S. every year than any other energy source. So, and that's solar and wind both. And we're proud to claim solar as some of the cheapest electrons in the utility system.
According to our news department, Wisconsin installed 300 megawatts of solar energy in 2021.
Yeah, so we're, you know, that some of the stats are a little slow to accumulate, and you know, a lot of these projects are just being energized. So you know, maybe my data is a little misleading here, but I think you know, some of these big projects, you know, that's kind of the state of Wisconsin solar in some ways, is that, you know, we're looking at, when you think about like the rooftop, you know, like meter connected residential, commercial solar.
Yeah.
We're kind of in the like 20 megawatts a year, but all it takes is one large solar farm, one 300 megawatt solar farm, to really push us over the top. And those can take a while to be built, you know, 2 years to be fully energized. But once they come on, then it really increases our capacity in the state.
Yeah. Patty in Wheatland has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Patty.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We're very excited about going solar, and we contacted a company that they put up all the panels, which took a lot longer than expected on our barn. Unfortunately, that started in September, and there's still no end in sight to getting it hooked up. Is there like a resource somebody can go to that wants to go solar that can say, here's companies that have a really good reputation in Wisconsin, because I know we're not the only ones going solar that are having this issue where the project gets started and you start making payments on the panels, but it's still not hooked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the work that we really focus on is consumer education, and so we're a good resource. We actually organize consumer buying programs all over the Midwest and have done over 15 megawatts of purchasing on thousands of homes and businesses through these programs, and we partner with jurisdictions. So, for example, we have one in central Wisconsin and the city of Stevens Point and Wausau and Portage County and Wood County and the city of Wisconsin Rapids all kind of participate. And we help consumers, you know, find a good installer. There isn't a single resource. You know, the market's growing pretty rapidly. What we like to tell people looking for solar is, you know, understanding the solar market. Right now, most customer-owned solar is sold by referral. So if you think about that, that means like someone in your church or your neighbor or somebody talks about the solar system, and then that's how solar spreads. And in that context, a solar company has a real interest in making happy solar customers because that's going to get them more customers. And generally what we tell people is look locally first. Because if the business is local, they're more focused on high quality insulation and building customer base, and get multiple bids. Now that being said, sometimes projects take a while because weather. You know, you start in the fall and temperatures drop below zero, or you get a foot of snow. And so, as long as your contracted installer is being responsive, and you feel like they're continuing to make progress, you know, the winter months when we don't have a lot of sunshine and there's a lot of snow out there, you're not losing a lot of solar production yet. So, that being said, if there are problems, THATCAP, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, has a page. You can just put like Google Wisconsin DATCP solar, and you'll get a consumer protection resources page with some contact information. So if it starts to concern you, you can always contact the state and start a process there.
Yeah, that's good advice for sure. Patty, thank you. Appreciate your call. Wayne in Green Bay has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Wayne.
Well, hello. I really enjoy your show, Larry. I call in often on different topics. I'm enjoying this topic, but I have no idea what you're talking about when you're talking about megawatts or whatever. You're explaining it like I'm supposed to know what 300,000 megawatts are. I know what 300,000 cars are and 300,000 people, but I have no idea what a megawatt is.
That's a good question, Wayne. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, let's take this one head on here. So if you look at your utility bill, and many people don't, but it's really important to do so, you're likely paying somewhere between 11 and 15 cents a kilowatt hour. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you can think about like the classic 60-watt light bulb. Well, now most of those light bulbs are LED, so they're probably a little under 10 watts. but let's just say that you had 100 kind of like standard lumen LED light bulbs, and that was like 1,000 watts. Well, if you leave all of those light 1,000 watts is a kilowatt, right? So if you leave all of those light bulbs on for an hour, that would be your kilowatt hour, and that kilowatt hour would cost you between 11 and 15 cents. Well, a megawatt is 1,000 kilowatt hours of capacity, right? So the way that we think about solar is very similar to the way we think about energy usage, right? So if you have 1,000 watts, say 1 kilowatt of solar on your roof, that would probably take up about, let's say, you know, 20 square feet. To 30 square feet, and that's just potential. It's not producing electricity until the sun shines on it, And so those 1,000 watts are sitting up there. If the sun shines on it for 1 hour, there you go. You've just under a net metering where the utility compensates you at the rate you purchase at, or you're allowed to just reduce your electricity bill. You've just saved yourself 11 cents to 15 cents an hour. Now, when we talk about megawatts, we're talking about 1,000 times that capacity, so 1,000 times that size. So when we look at, when you think about a solar farm, these large installations out in the farm fields, 1 megawatt or 1,000 kilowatts or, you know, 1 million watts, that capacity takes up about 6 acres. So when you look at some of the large solar farms that are out there, say Badger Hollow or Koshkonong Solar Farm, you're looking at, you know, 1,800 acres to 2,000 acres of property, but generally about 5 to 6 acres per megawatt. So when you look out in the field and you see a bunch of solar and 5 acres, that's basically a megawatt.
There you go. It's a good way to explain it. Wayne, thank you so much for calling. John in Madison, your turn. Hi, John.
Hey, Larry. John here. I'm a civil engineer, and I installed solar on my house, residential. And I guess I'm calling more with a comment for any folks that have residences that are looking to put solar on their house. You're not going to be your local utility's friend when you do that. They want to sell you electricity. And I guess I'm just wondering if your guest has any comments on things that are underway. I know the utility has to do a grid tie connection with you, but they still charge you meter hookup charges, which is going to prolong your payback. Any comments from your guest would be great.
All right, John, and we'll get to those comments, but we need to take a quick look at the news first. Our guest today, Nick Hyla, Executive Director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. John has a good question there for Madison, and we'll get to that. And certainly we'll get to your questions as well. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back right after this quick look at the news. Stay with us. Taking a look at solar energy in Wisconsin on the program right now. There's been a big increase in solar energy in the past decade here in the state. I'm Larry Mueller, by the way, and my guest is Nick Hyla. He is the executive director of the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. It's a nonprofit based out of Custer, Wisconsin. It's been around for more than 30 years. I've visited the site many a time and even broadcast from there so a couple of times. So it's been nice to be able to get back with the MREA and to talk with Nick. Want to hear from you. What questions do you have about solar energy or maybe other renewable energies? Does your community have a group solar project? Are you a solar installer? What was the training like? Love to hear from you. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. And, Nick, we had a call from John in Madison, I believe, who wanted you to comment on utilities and the relationship between a utility company and somebody installing solar. And I think Laura, let's pull her in because she has a similar kind of question, I believe, and then we can take them as kind of as a package maybe. Laura, hi. Thank you for calling from Spooner.
Hi. Thanks for having me. We are up in Spooner, rural Washburn County. We have one electric provider for our area. That electric provider will purchase back any excess electricity that we have from solar panels at a reduced rate from what they charge. We got two estimates from local solar installers this last summer, and we were not able to go forward with a project for our home because we could not make the money stretch. it would take us 30 years to make it break even because of the low rate of payback from Barron Electric and because the state has no incentives for this area.
Yeah, Laura, thank you so much for calling. So I guess we can kind of, in a way, combine those two from John and from Laura. But comment, Nick.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is a fundamental issue in the market. You know, utilities enjoy a monopoly privilege over their customers. Well, actually, ratepayers. Customers have choice. You don't have choice over your electricity service. And if you think about, like, how this came about, if you go back 100 years, you know, there was a broad debate about how we should build out this new technology in municipalities. You know, at the time there was municipalization, which was like kind of the first democratic ownership of our electricity. But instead we went a different route, and we provided monopoly control to the utility companies under a regulated monopoly system in Wisconsin. We have a three-person appointed body called the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin that kind of oversees the utility activity. And now today, unlike our roads, you know, if you think about roads, they're publicly owned. So now FedEx and semis and you and Lyft and Uber and any kind of innovation can be out there on the road, but our poles and wires and all of our electrical infrastructure are privately owned by monopoly utility companies, and their investors make money by building things. And that actually worked quite well for quite a while because availability of electricity and energy, like natural gas, was directly related to economic productivity. So the more availability, the more, and you know, how do you get something in our market to become more available? Well, you guarantee a rate of return for investors and the money flows. And so the money has flowed into the energy system and we've built out all across this country with investor-owned utilities and cooperative utilities, a pretty amazing electricity system. The challenge has come in recent years, starting in the late 80s, when we started becoming more efficient per unit of energy use and stop needing stuff to be built. So what happens when the utility business model is one in which you get paid by building things and you need less things built? And so here we come to today, where we have technologies like solar energy and energy storage and energy efficiency, where it presents a real opportunity to homes and businesses because energy costs are a drag on economic productivity. And so reducing energy costs is in everybody's interest. You can install a solar electric system on your house, but what does that do for your monopoly utility? It reduces their justification to build new things, and investors don't like that. And so there you have kind of this dynamic. And that is why, you know, we need policy and we need a transition. It's, you know, it's called the clean energy transition, which is to say, if we have the ability to manage these utility companies under this regulatory compact, shouldn't we be compensating them for, instead of selling us, requiring us to buy power and building more things for us to buy, shouldn't we instead be incentivizing them to keep the lights on and be resilient, to reduce the carbon in their portfolio, to help customers make investments, to increase local economic productivity? And I think that's an interesting, that's really at the core of this. And one of the things that we fight for is, you know, more transparency, more competition, and like transitioning us, because utility companies are amazing. I mean, if you think about, like, how do we get to the point where you don't have to think about your electricity for the most part? You get there because the utility companies do a really good job of maintaining electric supply all over the state of Wisconsin. And right now we have some new demands, and a lot of those come with the benefits of like customer connected solar energy. So I think it's a really interesting conversation and one that we're involved in every day.
Is there reasoning behind these community projects then relating to that, Nick?
Yeah, so community solar. So first, maybe we can define what that is. So, you know, 75% of the buildings out there really aren't suitable for solar. Either the roof is not suitable, or there's not enough space, or they're oriented the wrong direction, or they're not owner occupied. And so what community solar does is it allows for multiple home and business owners, or anybody who pays a utility bill on a service territory, to invest in a large-scale solar project and then to get the benefits of that mediated on your utility bill. Now, that's been a huge economic benefit in the Twin Cities area, but that required legislation. It required the state leaders to pass legislation that required the utility Xcel Energy to come up with a program that served those customers. And kind of to get to the second question, you know, the utilities, one of the things that happened in Minnesota was they passed legislation in 2013 that said, hey, we're going to require that the utilities enter into a process by which we define the grid value of customer-owned solar. Because we hear all the time, oh, well, if I put solar energy in my house and I'm not paying as much for electricity, then someone else has to pay that, so I'm increasing costs for other customers. And so they said, okay, well, we're going to define the value of solar. So they went through a process in Minnesota, and sure enough, as many of us know and expect, the value that my solar, if you're in Minnesota, the value that your solar that you install with your money has to other customers is actually greater than the price per kilowatt hour that they charge for the retail rate. And that is because solar energy produces a majority of its energy during peak times, and electricity is expensive. It uses your own money and not investor money, which in Wisconsin, that's a 10%+ rate of return on any dollar they invest. And it reduces transmission and distribution system costs. It has these grid ancillary benefits. So they passed this. They allowed for community solar. And lo and behold, today there's over 800 megawatts of community solar serving more than 16,000 customers just in the Minneapolis area. And most of those are business customers. And so what businesses in the Twin Cities have that we don't have in Wisconsin is they can invest in this community solar garden. They can get long-term utility bill savings, and they can market this carbon-free electricity and local economic development benefit to their customers. And so it's a big attraction for businesses. In Wisconsin, we have some legislation that's being debated that would allow this to happen. But again, there's very stiff opposition from utility companies to allow this to happen because, again, that wouldn't be utility investor money, and it would kind of create some more competition in the system.
Interesting. Tom and Nina, it's your turn. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We've had our solar system online for about 3 years, going on 4 years now. It was installed by Photovoltaic Systems out of Amherst, James Kerbal's company. We selected James Kerbal's company not because they were low cost. In fact, they weren't the low cost potential supplier. We did it based on reputation. And it was installed well. It's functioned well. Last year, I did an economic evaluation on it. We have about a six-year payback on it. We produce 140% of the electricity that we consume. So we are extremely pleased, and I just hope that other people get on board and start installing systems on their homes. This was not on a new home. Our home was about 15 years old at the time, so we re-shingled the side of the roof that we're going to put the solar system on, and the solar system was put on top of it in a couple of days, and we were online shortly. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Thanks. Comment, Nick.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the benefits of solar as an energy source, you know, there's benefits and there's drawbacks, right? The benefit is that there's no moving parts. You know, it's modular and scalable. The modules, standard 25-year production guarantee, you know, warranted. Inverters have 15-year warranty, so you usually replace one of those over the 30-year life of the system. And every time the sun shines, it reduces your utility bill. And the vast majority of homes and businesses out there that have invested in solar have received those benefits and are extremely happy. And, you know, you think about it, it's basically just a hedge against electricity price inflation, as electricity prices always go up. And so that means your solar production gets more and more valuable as time goes on. Now, the challenge, you know, not to minimize the challenge that we have in the utility system, you know, if we are to move towards renewable energy, you know, the grid has one operating parameter, really, and that is supply must equal demand or failures occur, and those can result in cascading failures. And, you know, the utilities and grid operators have to manage that. Now, we have as a percentage of generation in Wisconsin, we have so little solar that we could install way, way more. I mean, if you look at a state like, for example, like if you look at California, I mean, as compared to Wisconsin, you know, we had 130 megawatts last year. It sounds like we're going to add 300 megawatts this year. Let's call it like 450 megawatts total. Well, you know, California has 33 gigawatts. So like that's like 1,000 times more. And much of that is distributed. And you get to the point where, you know, we really need to start thinking about what type of planning and what type of distribution system optimization can happen so that more and more customers, so that the utilities would prefer that their customers went solar. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if your local utility benefited from your solar system and their investors benefited and we were all in this together? Mm-hmm. And I think that that recognition of the value and the happiness that you get from your investment and how you can use your money to save yourself money over the future and be an active participant in the clean energy revolution and spreading the benefits out there to communities all across the country. And as Larry said, you know, solar installer is one of the fastest growing professions in the country. And that's because all these homes and buildings are getting solar installed, and it's like a huge workforce opportunity. And so it's always good for me to hear from happy solar customers. And yeah, we help people go solar, and we think it's the future.
Stephen in De Pere will give you a chance. Hi, Stephen.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call. I basically have a question, and I will then hang up and listen. I'm very interested in electric operations, including our solar and wind systems. However, I've had some reading, and there isn't a whole lot in print about this, but I understand that a solar system or a windmill system actually needs to receive power to synchronize it that originates from fossil fuel generators. And I was just wondering, looking into the future, whether there will be a certain percentage of generation down the years that's provided by fossil fuel generators that we seem to be getting rid of by the year lately.
Okay. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Nick.
To address your first point, you know, if you connect a solar electric system in your house, it has to receive a grid signal to operate. If not, it goes through a process called rapid shutdown. So most solar electric systems that are out there, you know, if the grid goes down, your solar electric system goes down. That is unless you install battery storage system that allows for resilience at your site. So I think that's what you're referring to is, you know, the inverters that invert the direct current electricity produced by a solar electric system, they invert that into a grid quality alternating current, and they need that grid signal to interact with the utility. The second part of your question, you know, everything, right? Like, this is a human endeavor, right? That our energy, we didn't build our energy system for anybody else than us people, right? So the question to me always is, you know, let's talk about the benefits to people. And I always get concerned about fossil fuel plants closing down because, you know, those facilities employ people and they provide a tremendous amount of economic benefit to the local jurisdictions. And so when it comes to the idea of a fossil fuel free future, where my mind always goes is how do we invest in those communities that have hosted these fossil fuel assets, gas plants, coal plants, and even nuclear power plants that we're shutting down? How do we transition their workers and how do we develop tax revenue for them to manage the sustainable local economic development? And I think if, you know, I heard a quote and I say it all the time, you know, it's kind of like if you were to reinvent the American, you know, education system, you would never reinvent it the way it is today. And that's the same thing applies to our electricity transmission and distribution system and generation system. And so we're in a process that, and what we advocate for is a just energy transition, one in which, you know, we actively work to transition our fossil fuel assets to renewables. We know, looking at examples from all across the country, we know that there are ways to do this that would provide dramatic and widespread benefits all across in rural and urban areas. It's just a matter of having the political will and the vision to do it. And that's kind of why I started saying, you know, there's benefits to being a laggard here. What I would say is that what we don't have yet in Wisconsin is a clear political will to see a future that really has an energy system that benefits people over the long term and that transitions us correctly. And, you know, our hope is that, you know, energy underwrites everything. There's, I mean, think about a world without electricity right now. Can you even imagine that?
No.
Right? And so how come we're not making that a voting priority? You know, how come we're really not investing in a vision for an energy future? You know, Wisconsin doesn't have any fossil fuel resources. We don't have any natural gas. We don't have any coal. We spend $16 billion a year on out-of-state fuel resources. The Center on Wisconsin Strategy said, well, what if we transition to 100% clean energy? What would that mean? You know what it would mean? It would mean 165,000 additional jobs beyond what we already have in the energy sector. And it would mean savings to all ratepayers. So I really think it's a really interesting and galvanizing question to say, how do we do this and how do we do it with people in mind?
Your organization recently built a new training lab in Custer, Wisconsin. Is that partly to address what you're talking about?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, we have spent the last 5 years really investing in what we call kind of like beneficial electrification. So we were one of the first places in the state to have a high voltage electric vehicle charger, and it's still in operation and used by hundreds and hundreds of people each year. And we've gone net zero on our campus and we have solar. And this last year, what we did is we installed an energy storage tech center that showcases all the latest and greatest energy storage technologies for homes and businesses. And why? You know, that if you look at this idea of transitioning to kind of like a carbon-free and locally beneficial grid, you can't do it without storage. You know, you have to be able to take these variable resources like wind and solar and, you know, new baseload resources like biomass. And you have to be able to say, okay, how do we decouple the supply and demand? And the way you do that is with energy storage. And energy storage sited with the utility meter has some distinct advantages, even over grid-level storage, in that if I, for my home, install energy storage, not only can that storage be providing services to the grid while it operates, which means like keeping me from ever buying power during peak times when it's expensive, but also providing voltage regulation and other ancillary services. But when the power goes down, it gives me continuous power supply. That's the immediate, but the actual reality is if we don't invest in a smart distribution system that reduces our total demand for power and makes us operate more efficiency, there's no amount of solar and wind that we can produce to decarbonize our grid. We need to invest in smart grid customers, and we need to invest. So we have a new energy storage center. We're super excited about it. We have new training courses. And if you want to see it, you can come to the Energy Fair June 24th to the 26th. We'll be giving tours all weekend.
We'll get you back to talk about that, Nick. Thank you so much for being with us today. We'll talk more with Nick Hyla down the road. I should mention, by the way, by way of full disclosure, Midwest Renewable Energy is one of Wisconsin Public Radio's many business sponsors, so we appreciate that as well. And we appreciate you listening in today. It's been a pleasure talking with you. I'm sorry we didn't get everybody online to ask their question, but that's the way it works. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.